Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. It's so good to be here today to celebrate many things, but most especially the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. My name is Vermone. I am lead pastor of preaching and mission here at Roosevelt, and always a great privilege to be here and to open God's word to you, but especially on this day when we recognize really what's very key to our belief, not just that Jesus died for us, but that he rose again. We have life in him, and we're going to spend just a little bit of time thinking about that through Colossians chapter 1. I'm just looking at two verses, and it'll be up on the screens, and so if you don't have a Bible, you can look there, or even better, use the Bible that's in front of you. Be Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, and I'll read that a little bit later on in my sermon. But again, that's Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Colossians is in the back half of your Bible, in the New Testament, if you want to use the Bible that's in front of you. All right, well, allow me to pray, and let's get going. Lord, thank you for this time, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity to be in your word, and Lord, to see beautiful truths, Lord, truths that we need to see and we want to know and believe and live in. Thank you, Lord, for this time, for the many that are here. Thank you for the unique privilege we have to be gathered in one place, worshiping you, hearing things, Lord, that you want to say, and that will, I trust, pierce into our very hearts. So, Lord, remove distractions. Lord, may my words, Lord, be your words. Lord, in many ways, Lord, may it be you speaking, not so much me, Lord, but Lord, may you speak through me to all the particular situations that are here, that people would hear and believe and understand and live differently as a result of the fact that Jesus is real and he's risen and we can live in him. In his name we do pray, amen. Well, those of you who are interested in science, you'll know that scientists have for a long time been trying to understand what you might call is the most essential particle of the universe. Another way to put it is sort of the most basic essential thing that makes up everything that's around us, everything in the universe. So for a long time, that was thought to be atoms, that atoms are what make up everything that's around us. So the whole universe is made up at this most basic, essential level of atoms. But when I was growing up, it was atoms, but now it's thought to be quarks. There's a level below that, a more basic, essential level called quarks that makes up everything. And if you think about this, the idea of the most basic, essential thing that ties everything together, it's a similar sense that I want to talk to you today about how I believe there's one essential story behind the entire universe, and specifically every living person. There's one essential basic story that's behind every single life. And if you think about it, every single person is living a life, a story, as I'm going to put it. Everyone's living some type of story, and there's all sorts of different stories that are out there. Over the thousands of years, people have lived all sorts of different types of stories. The thing is, it doesn't matter if someone was living thousands and thousands of years ago, someone's living today in the Amazon jungles, or maybe you're living in a condo, one of those sweet condos here in downtown Phoenix. Whether you're old, you're young, whatever who you are, whatever your life, whatever your story, there's actually one essential basic story that's behind all those stories, that's behind everything. It's a story that helps us make sense of the whole world, and what I hope is will happen this morning is it's a story that I hope will help make essential sense of your own life. So we've been thinking about this story over the last couple weeks, and really it's a story, of course, that's going to begin where the Bible tells us to begin. We're going to use the Bible as a way of telling the story. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, and the first verse of Genesis chapter 1. And many of you know that first verse. It's, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created everything. And if you go on in that chapter, in chapter 1, you read that he's created the heaven and the earth and everything that's in the heavens and the earth. And he created it good. Over and over and over in the very beginning of the Bible, we say God created and he created it good. That in fact, every single human being was created good. And what that tells us immediately is that everything and everyone has a purpose. And not just any purpose. Everything and everyone has a good purpose. And, you know, there's so much I wish I could say about that, so much to think about that. But right now, all I just want to say is that it should tell us, it should speak against any idea, any notion that you've been given or a thought that life is meaningless, that your life has no purpose. I want to tell you that within you, if you respond to amazing music, we got to sing some great songs this morning. If you respond to beautiful things, the way it feels when you get a hug or a kiss from someone you love, the prick of your conscience when something unjust happens, and the way you feel about that, all of those things are echoes of creation in you. There's something within you that God put there that's telling you, that's syncing up with the fact that this world has meaning to it, and you respond to it. It has purpose to it. And in fact, you naturally want it to be a good purpose, a beautiful purpose, a glorious purpose. Echoes of creation within every single life, within every single story. Now, unfortunately, the next part of the story is that we broke what God made. We rejected God. We rejected God in the good ways in which he was calling us to live, the good ways in which he was calling us to live out the stories that he gave us. The Bible uses the word sin to capture this idea. We sinned against God. And there's consequences to that sin. It's the reason why so many people, they struggle. You may struggle to find meaning and purpose in the story of your life. It's the reason why so many people's stories, they're warped, and there's torn pages, and there's stains on the story of their life. You know, the Bible even puts it a little more strongly. It says that we all now, because of the brokenness of the story of this world, our sin, our rejection of God and our rebellion against him, that we are living in what's called, we might call the domain of darkness. It's in the verses that we're going to spend some time looking through. The domain of darkness. Darkness here represents sin. And the Bible is just saying our sin puts us under domain of sin. It puts us under its control. That sin has power, control, dominion of it. We suffer under sin, and we suffer the consequences of sin. That's the story many of us are living. That's the story all of us, I should say, are living right now. You know, I know some of you have been to Las Vegas. Well, I'm going to change that. I see your Facebook and Instagrams. Most of you have been to Las Vegas. And let's just say, Las Vegas, based on those photos, is a very interesting place. A lot of things happen there. One of the things, of course, that you'll see in Las Vegas is people playing slot machines, the sort of poker slot machines. And I was reading something about the people who play those things consistently. They have strategies for playing those things. They have different machines that they'll play, different times they'll play it. They have different ways in which they'll play the machine. So, you know, a lot of them are just pulling the lever, but they add a little bit of strategy, not much, but a little bit for some of these machines. So there's a system by which lots of people will be involved and work the machines to be able to get the payout. Sad to say, there is no strategy for paying slot machines. The thing is that those machines are run by complex computer programs. And not just that, those machines are monitored by the casino people, the people who are running whatever casino you might be in. And so the programs are specifically there to make sure you win, but not just enough to keep you going. Not enough for the casino to still make a huge profit off of you, but just enough to keep you going. The machines are always placed in windowless rooms because it takes your sense of time away. It's harder to figure out, have I been winning? How long have I been here? And they monitor those things so that just in case you end up losing for a certain period of time, for whatever reason, they send someone down to give you a free drink because free drinks make everything better, right? So they send that down, and you're like, oh, it's going great. And so you keep playing. In many ways, what's happening is you are living in the domain of the casino. You may think, I'm doing lots of things, great things, wonderful things, but you are playing under their power. You're playing under their authority, the casino and the people who run those machines. This is how sin operates. This is why the Bible uses this idea that we are in the domain of darkness. In other words, the domain of sin. I recognize that sounds harsh. It sounds like I'm not under the domain of anybody. I'm not in control of anything. I mean, what are you talking about? That I'm under the power of sin. Well, I think the reason we say that, the reason you may feel that, is because you've been playing the machine so long, you don't even see the pattern anymore. You don't even see the light anymore. You've been playing so long, and there's enough little payouts from sin to make you think that overall I'm winning. But you ain't winning. You're losing, slowly losing all the way to death. The reality is that if you think about it, how easily you fall into selfishness, how easily your pride might get hurt in different ways, how easily you react harshly when something that's really important to you gets attacked in any way, how you might overreact to those things, how even when you do good religious things, like go to church, you can do it in a very self-righteous way. But look at me, look how good I am. All those things show where we really are at. We are under the domain of sin. That's, as I said, the story behind every story, but there's a plot twist. There's something really key and important, and it's this. The key plot point that changes everything, that tells us it doesn't have to stay this way, and it's this. It's what we celebrate on Easter. It's what we see up on the verses on the screen. It's this, that He, that's the Lord God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This domain of darkness that we're all living in, you know, what the Bible is telling you is that that's not the only domain out there. That's not the only place for you to live. That's a different place. Let's call it a different kingdom. Let's call it a heavenly kingdom. Because this kingdom is the kingdom of the beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ. What's it like to live in this kingdom, in this different domain? Well, it's a kingdom that's ruled by Jesus. And because Jesus is the beloved Son of God, this is a kingdom that is full of love and joy and peace and goodness. It's a kingdom characterized by beauty. It's a kingdom that's characterized by justice. Yes, we are living in the domain of darkness. We're enslaved to slot machines of our sins. But it's possible to leave that kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness, and go into a different domain, a different kingdom. It's possible to leave the windowless room and walk into a place of light, full of love, truth, and peace, and beauty. How do we do that? Well, again, you might say, here's the twist within the plot twist. It's not what we do. It's what God has done. That God, through Jesus, delivers his people out of the domain of darkness and transfers them into the kingdom of the beloved Son. If you think about it, what we see in Jesus is God riding into the slave camp, killing the slave master, breaking those chains, and leading the captives free. What we see in Jesus is God jumping in to the deep end of the pool where we are drowning and sinking by the chains of our sin and diving to the very bottom and breaking those chains and bringing us back up and rescuing us and saving us. That is what we celebrate on Easter. Deliverance, rescue, deliverance and rescue. It is possible. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't be free. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't be rescued. Don't let anyone tell you that you are locked in any type of pattern that you're locked in. You can be delivered. You can be free. It is possible. And the reason it's possible is right there again in those verses. How does God do this? Well, it's through redemption, which means the forgiveness of sins. We are able to be set free from the domain of darkness because God redeems us. God redeems us through the forgiveness of our sins. You know, this is the thing that I think everyone needs, but many of us don't realize that we need. We don't think that we need. I think this is what keeps us living broken stories. This is what keeps us living in ways that are damaged and torn up. It's because we have no way of securing forgiveness. And what I mean by forgiveness is, you know, I'm talking about forgiveness in the fullest sense. So we can talk about forgiveness as just, well, I'm sorry this happened. I'm glad when that happens, when someone forgives me, when I forgive others. But in the fullest sense, imagine a forgiveness that's not just able to say I'm sorry, but it's able to get to a place where you can overlook what happened. When you can get to a place where it's as if it never happened. We can get to a place where it's brand new again. Brand new family. Brand new relationship. Brand new life. And that's a powerful type of forgiveness, isn't it? I mean, that's the kind of forgiveness that makes it possible to leave behind broken patterns and enter into new ones, whole ones, glorious ones. But that's what makes it so hard. That's what makes forgiveness hard. That's what makes it hard for us to leave those patterns, because that type of forgiveness, I mean, how do you get it? It's not like you can press the undo button and make it all go away. All the things that have been said and done to you, all the things you've said and done to other people, you can't just make yourself brand new in and through your own life. You can't just snap your fingers and do it. Many of us wish we can do it. We've tried to do different things to do it, but the echoes and the scars of what happened reverberate over and over and over and over again. This is why we got to bring something new into the equation. We can't go with just human-powered forgiveness. We need God-powered forgiveness. We need supernatural power in the equation. We need someone, a God, who knows a bit about how to create new things. And that is how we get that freedom. This is how you get the freedom in your life. How, I want you to understand this, how every day and every hour of every day, you are always, always able to live a new life and a new story, to have a fresh start. Every hour of every day, it's because God is the one who's doing this. God redeems and brings forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. That's why I can say there's redemption, forgiveness of sins for any sexual struggles you have. That's why I can say there's redemption, forgiveness of sins for alcohol addictions and drug addictions or food addictions. This is why there's redemption and forgiveness of sins for hateful words to your spouse, for dysfunctional families, for painful divorces. This is why there's redemption, forgiveness of sins for lying and cheating and abuse. That's why there's redemption, forgiveness of sins for every selfish, prideful thing that you've done has been done to you. There is redemption, forgiveness of sins, always possible. Not a one-time deal. This is not a holiday sale that's going to go away and expire in a few hours. This is always possible, always available, because it's in Jesus that we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. Look back at those verses. Verse 14, in whom, that's in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, the deal is this. Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. Jesus died on the cross for our sins in our place. He entered our broken story. But his story didn't end there. We celebrate on Easter the fact that the tomb is empty, that he is risen from the dead, and the fact that Jesus is not a dead Savior or a dead King, but a living Savior and a living King. That means redemption and forgiveness is always available, because the one who brings us is alive, and he lives and he reigns. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, deliverance from the domain of darkness and entering into the kingdom of the Son is always there because Jesus is alive. And that means every hour of every day, every minute of every hour of every day, you are but a few words away from a new life and a new story. but a few words away from forgiveness, but a few words away from peace and healing, from whatever you've done or whatever's been done to you, a few words away. Simple words. I believe in you, Jesus. Great power, more power than you realize behind those words. I live in your story, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus. A couple different versions of those words, but they're so simple. That's all we need. And that's why, really, this is a simple question many of us should ask ourselves. Where are we then in relation to Jesus? In other words, what's your story? Is your story outside of Jesus, or is it in Jesus? Is it outside of what Jesus is able to do? And look, the temptation is to think that we can live outside of that story. And I think what I've been trying to do today is just, I just want to be that person who taps you on the shoulder and says, you've been playing this machine for days. and the drinks and the food that you've been given are poison. You've been trying to deal with these things on your own. And you've been using the strategies that's been given to you, that have been handed down to you, that you've fallen into to deal with these things. And it's not working. It won't work. You're living outside of the best story you could possibly live in. What I'm praying for, what I'm hoping for, is that you realize I can't be outside of redemption and forgiveness of sins. I want the full deal. The full 100% deal. To believe in Jesus. To live in Jesus. That is what is freely available to all of us. No matter the situation, no matter the life, no matter the struggle, no matter the pain, no matter the hurt, even now in your seats, the smallest whisper begins to set you in that new path. Even if you've been on that path and you've fallen far away, the wonderful thing is the Bible talks about Jesus even now being seated on the throne, and his ears are always ready to hear you. His mouth is always ready to respond, say, yes, come into the light. Come and know me and experience all the things that come only through Jesus. Yes, it means leaving the room behind. And yes, that seat is comfortable, and that machine, you feel like you're winning. By God's grace, I pray you would see today a living Lord and Savior and King, and that you would find the full deal, redemption, deliverance, the forgiveness of all sins, past, present, future, sins done, sins committed, sins in the future, all of it, you'd find the light in Christ. He offers it. Let's pray that we would ask him for it. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the time, Lord, just a little bit of time today to be able to think, Lord, and to pray to you now about the fact that, Lord, so many of us, Lord, we're lost, we're confused, living in all sorts of different ways, Lord. And yet, Lord, there's really only one real way to live. Lord, it's to live in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that when we look at the cross, it's empty. We go to the tomb, it's empty. When we look in heaven, that's where you are, reigning over all, Lord. And you send your spirit to now reign in our lives, and all we have to do is ask. Always we have to do is look to you, Lord. And Lord, I'm struck, Lord, by the power, Lord, of the fact that there are so many different types of people here, so many different cultures and backgrounds and educations and ages represented here. And yet, this one story touches every single person here. And so I pray, Lord, that you give the ears to hear, that whatever part of what was said today would reach them. Maybe it's the part where they realize, I've been living in darkness, and I'm acting like I'm not, and I am. May you free them from that. Or maybe it's a part where they realize that there is a Jesus. He's real, and that it is God who's come and freed us. And they begin to turn in faith to you in that way. Lord, maybe it's, or most especially for all of us, Lord, it's a realization that real and full forgiveness can happen. It can be like as if it never happened. Because Jesus, you've come and taken our sins from us so we can live in you, the risen Jesus. And Lord, I pray we would step into that truth. that you would bring freedom and release, that you bring hope and peace and even more, Lord, to every single person here. Lord, may the words be whispered from every lips here, every single person's lips right now, Lord. I believe in you and I live in you, Jesus. Thank you for how you do that. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to that. Lord, thank you for who you are and all you do. Only you can do it. Only you can accomplish it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.